The 10 o'clock hour of Wildy and Tausch. In the aftermath of yesterday's open to the media, but not to fans, OTA practice.
I like when you roll your eyes in a little skepticism.
Yeah, I got a lot of skepticism.
When you get your sit-down with Ed, that'll be a good question for Ed. Because I think that could be something that
will
change.
I think that's coming, so it would be great if you could put together a list of questions you'd like me to ask him.
Sure.
Please do that. Seriously, because I think that's coming around the corner. I heard Riley Yauch's ESPN Madison Sports Center. So he promised, might be strong, but predicted we would talk about Keyshawn Nixon this hour, and we will. But I wanted to get back briefly and put a bow on the Zach Tom conversation, because our buddy Josh DiMaggio, I thought, summed it up pretty well. If the Packers don't want to pay Zach Tom, who do they want to pay? A fourth-round pick who's getting all-pro votes seems like the literal idea behind draft and develop. Also, yeah. I don't know anybody who has more typos in their texts than Josh DiMaggio.
Oh, he's got a lot of stuff going on.
He's got it covered for Jesse, roughly translated as you're reading it. Yeah.
We got the Brewers coming on in Madison, so he'll have to get ready for Wojoshi, I think. I don't know how that works. There is a new robotic story that's in your old publication that I saw today that was fascinating. So there's a lot of stuff that Joshy's got going on. But his point on Zach is 100% accurate. Now, if you don't think he can play, and that's when, you know, when we heard those competition reports and everything else, again, not really fully comprehending what that motivation would be other than you're pushing competition, but you didn't say that with Banksy.
Correct.
And you probably didn't say that with Elton. I think the Packers have no problem paying guys that they know are going to be the right kind of dude and really good players. That is what they're looking for. Zach Tom's going to be that guy. And he is going to get paid. I think it's going to work itself out. To what degree and how much? Again, if he's asking for Penei Sewell money, I think you're probably going to be come up a little short right now. Down the road, that is where he's going to live. And so from the Packers' standpoint, with how they structure things, you're going to get the big bonus, but you're not going to have a, you know, outside of that, it would make a ton of sense to look at this and say, I want him at this spot for this amount of time, but then you draft a guy like Belton and you put a little uncertainty in it. But Josh's point is you get guys that are playing at a really high level, you pay them. You don't let them walk out the building when they're heading in to be 25, 26. Now, if you let them go at 30 and they steal a couple good years, you can live with that, because your philosophy has always been, or for the most part, once you get past 30, 31, with very few exceptions, we want to go younger. It is a painful deal for the old guys, but you also see it coming and you understand it, and that's why you, when you're in this position, make sure you maximize it. And Zach Tom, I hope he maximizes it, just like I hope Elton Jenkins does.
All right, so speaking of maximizing, Keyshawn Nixon thought he was going to be maximizing his opportunity to be the number one corner. That still could happen. Like, Jair didn't show up early yesterday. We've talked a lot about him and the possibility of him coming to the mandatory minicamp to put pressure on them, making a decision one way or the other on improving their offer to him so there's more money in it that he doesn't have to earn back from a pay cut. We'll see what happens next week. It'll be next week. Tuesday will be the first day of the mandatory minicamp. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, will he be there? In the interim, if you remember in January, the day after the loss to the Eagles, in which he fumbled the opening kickoff, recovered it, but replay assist did not help him with that, Keyshawn Nixon proclaimed that he was over returning kicks. CB1s don't return kicks. Which, again, for those of you that think that we were trying to run Jair Alexander out of town, one of his best friends on the team was talking about being the number one corner in 2025. So he thought Jair was definitely gone also. But be that as it may, his head coach and his special teams coordinator were less than thrilled with that proclamation. And for the first time since that, Keyshawn talked to us, and it sounds like he's had a bit of a change of heart on the idea.
Oh, he has he?
Returning kicks. Although I don't know if it's so much a change of heart. Go ahead, whisper into the microphone.
No, will this be really quiet too?
It won't, because it's not my question.
Okay.
He was asked if he's changed his stance on returning kicks, and he sure sounds like a guy who had his stance changed for him.
Here is
Keyshawn Nixon.
I was kind of frustrated when the season was over, but it's value always, especially when it comes to me being who I am when doing it. So, I'm open to it. I'm always going to do what the team needs. And then also, like, just me knowing who I am as a person. If the game on the line, I'm going to want the ball anyway. So, that's just probably a comment that I probably could have kept to myself for real, but it is what it is. I said it. I meant what I said, but I'm also a team player, and if the coaches and the team need me to do something, I'm going to do it for sure.
I meant what I said. He heard that in there, and I probably could have kept that comment to myself. No, I don't want you to do that. I want you to speak your mind, especially when I'm there talking to you. So I'm okay with both of those things. But look, we got into further discussion about, you know, now the touchback coming out to the 35, so does he think that he'll get the ball kicked to him more frequently? He still thinks no. He thinks he'll still be avoided. We'll see about that. But Tausch, he is a weapon when he's given opportunities to return kicks. We've seen a little bit of progress in return games from different teams, finding ways to be productive even with the new kickoff rules. Do you see this as something that's important for him to do for this team?
Yes, that's why he was brought in. And obviously you can evolve and become one of the, if he's DB1, and then you have that conversation like we usually do with wide receivers and punt returns, are you too valuable to put yourself back there?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think Keyshawn, that's what he was looking at. He wants to be the guy. He doesn't want to just be a return guy that plays corner. He wants to be a corner that maybe is asked to return a kick. And I get that from his point of view. I appreciate the way he answered that question. I think he handled it well, but the bottom line is, with the rule change and now the ball, if you're kicking it out of the back of the end zone, getting it to the 35, I'll be shocked if Green Bay doesn't look at implementing. You're going to have to cover kicks now. That's too big of an advantage. Yep. Another 5 yards, I've told this story numerous times, but I know not everybody listens every day. Mike Ayers, our old analytics guy before analytics was cool, would always talk about how important the kick game was in relationship to where you start to what you get points-wise. And the difference, you'd think, oh, the 20, 25-yard line, not that big a deal. But then you go to the 20 to the 30-yard line, oh, not that big a deal. The numbers and your chances of success in getting points, it goes up so much. I'm guessing that they looked at it, and the 30 to the 35-yard line, and you think, well, that's only 5 yards, and we can eliminate a big kick. That will add up in a big way if that's your strategy all season. Now, if there's a guy, and if it's Keyshawn or whoever it is, if there's a guy that you just can't, Devin Hester back in the old days, you just live with it.
Right.
But most teams don't have that guy. I thought a couple years ago Keyshawn became that guy. He was all pro doing it. Last year, I don't recall. Did he have any big boy returns last year? I don't. If he did, I don't recall them. I remember the Miami game at Christmas a couple years ago. But this is going to be something that I think Green Bay is going to need to implement more and really shore up their coverage teams. And I think Keyshawn Nixon is going to get more opportunities. What you do with that really can make as big of a mark as being if you're DB2, DB3. It's an important piece to what this team is going to need, because I'm guessing the analytics are going to tell you, you get that ball 35 out, your chances of scoring are up exponentially, and that's what you're trying to get done when you're figuring out your strategies.
He had one 43-yard return last season. That was his best return. So he was definitely neutralized. He only returned 17 other kicks. So he did not get very many opportunities at all last season. So it is interesting to see if maybe that will change this year. All right, we need to play trivia. Then we need to get ready for Uncle Homer because it's still Wednesday. And while Bulaga's on tomorrow, Homer's on today. And I'm eager to talk to him about a variety of things. But first, we got to play trivia. Riley, did you get the responsibility of questions or did Jesse take that for you on this Wisconsin Geography Wednesday?
So Jesse said he was coming up with the questions, and I believe, Jason, on the show sheet, it says he will send them to us in a different email. Did you ever receive that email?
No.
Because I did not, so I may have to just whip up three questions quick.
So I will do it.
Okay.
In the commercial break.
What a hero. Thank you.
You know what?
Much,
you know what?
Jason.
What is with you today?
What do you mean?
You're kind of
a dink today. I can't have fun
today.
And some laughs? No, I'm not.
No, you kind of are.
I'm just calling you out a little bit. That's what you do a lot.
So it's Wisconsin Geography Wednesday, presented by Vortex
Rhinelander.
Golf.
Rhinelander.
Don't do this.
The Hodags.
Go Hodags. All right, well, I guess I won't do a Rhinelander question then. Let's take caller...
Holman!
Let me know when you're done. All right, caller...
Mayfield!
Caller 11.
West Bend!
Caller 11 right now for Wisconsin Geography Wednesday Trivia, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Caller 11 for Wildy and Tausch, Wisconsin Geography Wednesday Trivia. We'll begin after Tausch tells us about Coors Light.
Ooh, Coors Light. Can't wait for a little trivia. Can't wait to have a Coors Light or two over the weekend. And whether you're tailgating pregame, enjoying your experience during the game, celebrating a big win after the game, or just need a moment to chill, crack open at Rocky Mountain Cold Coors Light. It's brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it's cold packaged, so it is made to chill. It is always in my hand when I need to chill. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Trivia's next. I'll get writing. It's Will the Attack.
Point it. It's like when you're gone.
It is time for trivia. Thank you, juror number 8, for not sending us the questions on Wisconsin Geography Wednesday. Before we introduce our contestant, Riley, I assume with Jesse on jury duty, I will continue to be big voice guy.
I would assume. Let me quick hit the hotkey.
Wildy and Tausch Trivia is brought to you by Vortex Golf. Rangefinders you can bet on.
I guess not.
Somebody fixed it. Thank you for your service. It is time for trivia. Let's welcome in our contestant.
Just wait a second. So something got done with Jesse not being in the studio, and it got done well? Is that what I just learned?
Yes, that's exactly what you just learned.
Wow. Well done, Riley. Hey, nice work.
It was not me, but I clicked the hotkey and it worked, so I don't know. I'm assuming it was Hunter.
Hunter does nice work. He's a little bit fixated on Gerald Ford, but we like him anyway. Let's welcome in our contestant. Hey, do you remember the name of the supper club in Randolph that you were so excited to go to?
Yep, I do.
They serve ice cream. What's it called?
You sure they serve ice cream? They do a drink that I think has
ice cream in it. Right, like a creme de menthe.
Okay, it is Files is the name of that supper club. Files.
Well, we'll see if you're right or wrong because JC in Randolph is our contestant. JC, good morning. Hello. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. And by the way, they have a tremendous Packer memorabilia also in there.
Do they have a number 65 autographed Mark Tauscher jersey? And if not, could we negotiate some sort of large meal for the entire ESPN Madison team in exchange?
Knowing the owner, I think that would probably be possible. Yeah.
Ooh, I'm in.
So I'll say this. We went up there. It has got like an old school. There's a medieval. What is that era?
Medieval
vibe to it. There's like the bigger chairs.
Medieval.
And it's got, we played
like Game of Thrones.
Like old school. There's a vibe of that
up
in there.
With
yes,
their heads.
And then we played euchre in there. It's a great little spot. They got they have some type of German night where they have
Spetzel?
Potato pancakes and schnitzel. Yes, schnitzel. So it is am I correct on that? And then they have those great little ice cream drinks at the end of the night. So it's a good little spot.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in the summertime, the beer garden is open outside, and that's very nice.
Oh, das ist gut. Das ist sehr gut.
All right. Yeah. Well, congratulations, JC, because not only do you have your first entry into the drawing by being the 11th caller, but we've gotten plenty of advertising for files, and I can't wait for them to have Tausch's jersey hanging in the rafters. And ironically enough, with a very abbreviated time to throw together these questions, Wisconsin Geography Trivia focuses on the hometown of one Mark Tauscher. And that, of course, is Auburndale, Wisconsin. Question number one, JC, is this. As we all know, Mark Tauscher is the pride of Auburndale, Wisconsin. Which county in Wisconsin is Auburndale located in?
I know it.
Is it A, Crawford County, B, Wood County, or C, Old Boy County?
Oh, boy. I'm not familiar with Auburn. I'm just going to have to go with Crawford. Hang on. Let's go with Crawford.
Can I say this? Had I said Birch or Pine, would that have been too tippy for our
Tippy
friend
Canoe,
would be
Wood yeah.
Funny,
well, again.
Yeah, there would be Wood Funny then. Yeah,
and it is. It's okay. We're going to bounce back here, but questions about Tausch aren't always easy. Question number two in Mark Tauscher, Wisconsin Geography Wednesday, Auburndale trivia is this. Did you know that Tausch isn't the only professional athlete from Auburndale, Wisconsin?
I knew that.
I did not know that.
I like your chances today, Tausch. Which Major League Baseball pitcher spent 13 seasons in the big leagues and went 95-91 with a 4.07 career ERA? Was that pitcher Jordan Zimmerman, Paul Wagner, or Bob Wickman?
I'm going to go with Paul Wagner. I have no clue.
He was on the show a few years ago.
Yeah.
Zimmy. It was Zimmy.
Now, again, all three of those pitchers are Wisconsin natives.
These questions are probably not that fair, if I'm being honest. These are hard
questions.
Wood County? Yes. Wood County.
You talk about Wood County all the time.
I do love Wood County.
I'm not picking on JC here, but I don't think these are over-the-top difficult.
So you're saying JC should know these?
I'm saying, number one, JC should have known, because you talk about Wood County, the Potato Corridor, a fairly amount. Okay?
Yep.
And now, again, I'm not criticizing JC, but
I
listen to you every day. No, I'm not. I'm just saying that I think that one was not a
gimme. All right, I think JC will get this third one. He's going to get this third one.
Jordan Zimmerman's a little bit tougher. Maybe this one should have been question number two. Maybe this one's easier. We'll see.
Okay, good.
Okay. All right. Question three is this. Tausch started his NFL career in 2000. According to the 2000 U.S. Census, how many people were living in Auburndale, Wisconsin at the time? Is it 738, 7,380, or 70,038?
I'm going to go 700, the first one.
Yeah!
Yes,
let's
sir!
Go! Yeah!
A tiny town of 738 people in 2000, anyway, produced the Packers starting right tackle and the co-host and star of Will D. Tausch. Oh, it does my heart good, JC, that we didn't get skunked. So
yes,
I'm happy.
Well done.
You got question three right. That means you got two of the possible four entries into Friday's drawing. We'll see if Jesse has rejoined the show and if he'll be at the AmFam Championship with his cheese fry helmet so he can pick a winner of the Vortex Golf Rangefinder. Rangefinders you can bet on. JC, thanks for all the info about Randolph's favorite supper club, and good luck in the drawing.
Hey, you're welcome. Thank you.
Tausch, the real question about Auburndale is, has it gotten big enough now that it has its own Quick Trip, or is it still hoping that someday, with their fingers crossed, they too will have a Quick Trip?
We're getting there. We're going to keep fighting to compete and get there. But this summer, are you ready to climb to the top? Well, gear up for Quick Trip Mountain Dew Quick Climb. Every sip gets you closer to the summit. From now through August 17th, play each day for free right in the Quick Rewards app. Jason, we did this last year. You would jump in, play the game, and you'd let us know. Score bonus plays with every eligible item you grab, like an ice-cold Pepsi, bold Mountain Dew, hydrating Gatorade or Propel, and so many more. Pair any of those with hot food and earn two bonus plays. And every week, the cash prize climbs by $5,000, stacking higher and higher until one player reaches the summit, the top prize of $250K. Get climbing now in the Quick Rewards app. Quick Trip's Mountain Dew Quick Climb. Your summer, your climb, your win. No purchase is necessary. See full rules at quicktrip.com/sweepstakes. But you know that's not the only thing that Quick Trip has. They got white bread for 99 cents a loaf. Kitchen craving, 73% lean ground beef, $2.99 a pound. Simply potatoes, $1.99 for a 20-ounce bag. Quick Trip, head on down again. They got everything you're looking for. Take advantage of everything Quick Trip has to offer. And now you have a chance to win $250K on the app. Quick Trip, we'll see you next time.
We'll talk to Uncle Homer next. It's Will D. Tausch.
Whatever you do, make sure do it right. Whatever you do, make sure do it right. You're making love or starting the schoolyard fight. Make sure, make sure.
You know what that music means. You hear them every weekday on the best 60 minutes of your day and the shortest radio program in America, the Homer Hour, with a cavalcade of stars. He's the voice of Marquette men's basketball, headed into his 36th season behind the mic for the Golden Eagles. And, of course, he talks about the Lord. God Talk, My Faith with Homer and Pip on YouTube. It is Steve the Homer True. Homer, are you in your Lincoln that you got from a little old lady that only drove it to the grocery store right now as you talk to us?
You're damn right I am, and I want to thank the AmFam tournament because generally, I play Wednesday morning, and I couldn't have done this, but I'm playing now Wednesday afternoon, and so I'm able to talk to you as I'm driving to Madison.
Hands-free? All that technology?
No.
Oh, good.
I mean, eventually I should work on that, but I haven't done that yet.
So wait, Tausch played in the Pro-Am earlier this
Monday.
Week, what are you playing in?
One.
Like the geriatric?
I didn't know they had one earlier this week. That means no. The pro-am for the AmFam is Wednesday morning, Wednesday afternoon. And then I think they do one Thursday also. I didn't even know they had one before Wednesday. But
yeah, so there's pro-ams all over the place.
That so you're playing in the over 80 one?
No, I don't know. I mean, I've been really lucky. Last year I played with Ernie Els. And then I said he reminded me of Bonnie Blair. And then somebody I was playing with said, did you just tell Ernie Els? Yeah, I said, yeah, I think they're very similar. And I tried to get them to play together, but I'm not important enough. Ernie won last year, and so I don't know when he's playing there. Maybe Tauscher. That could be a Tauscher's level of pro-am. But
so whoever you play with today will win the title on Sunday?
Definitely not. Now
it's a team competition, Jason. There
is
no one winner.
Two-man thing. I don't know why they changed that, but I'm playing with a guy I've never.
Well,
heard
you're
of.
Gonna Homer. You're gonna find out. This course is gonna. This is a tough track. This is a tough track. Now, better hit it straight. That's all I'm going to tell you.
All right. Well, I mean, I played many times at Cherokee Country Club, and all I remember there's water all over the place.
Yeah, a lot
I don't
of water.
Know if
it's a marsh.
The case. Is there Ken?
No, there's still water.
I don't. You know who he is? 10-10. I looked him up. He played at UCLA, so we have something in common.
Okay. You'll have a great time. It is. I've played it. The pro-ams are super fun. You get some good swag. I was surprised you didn't go down on our buddy's bus. You guys are all driving up separate. That surprises me.
Again, they're playing in the morning. They're playing now, and I don't think they have a bus for the afternoon. I'm a low end. I might get fired and not even play. Kellner said if I've created any difficulties, they'll just replace me. And I said, fine, I'll just go back home. I've had just so many incredible events. The historic one is when I played with John Daly, and twice he asked me to kill him. And I do want to announce that I didn't, and so he's still playing today. 30 yards in front of me, I'm hitting a 3-wood and a par 5. I said, John, would you please move? And he raised his arms to the side and said, just end my effing life right now, hit me in the head.
Wow.
Said, John, I'm not going to do that. And he said it a second time. I said, okay, I'm hitting. And he faced me, and I didn't kill him. He's still playing today. So
that's probably a smart move to not do that.
I didn't try, but what? I mean, I couldn't. What do you mean? I'm not a 16 like you. I'm closer to the truth. Tell me, what's the? Let's go on to the other stuff. Nobody cares about this. I don't know.
Wait,
what the format is.
That's fair. Nobody does. I agree.
He never moved, and
he
hit it anyway.
Hit it, and I fortunately
you really could have killed him.
Yes. If I'd have hit it straight, he was, you know, maybe he knew it would be hot. And that, yeah, he had seen me play, and twice he said it, and I didn't kill him, so I feel good about that.
Win.
There were people
like
that heard
won.
It. John Anderson, when I had told the story yesterday, said, "Well, I'm not sure you'd have won in court. You know, like, what's the how much responsibility you get?"
Yeah.
Said, well, there
would
were
Jesse
people
be on the jury?
There were people there that had him that heard him say it twice, and I think I would have had a pretty good defense. But anyway, it didn't happen. I'm happy for that.
Yeah, it's probably good that it didn't happen. You don't have to go to court. Homer, before we get Packer talk, Brewers, nice run. Jesse's taking credit because he called for Pat Murphy, the conversation to be had. Yeah. Your Jackson Chourio stuff, a lot of people telling you to retire over it, but
that's
do you
true.
Feel like you're a little bit vindicated?
No, I like the kid. I'm hoping he solves this. It's the only thing that's going
to
prevent him from being a star. If I said, and I would never say Murphy, I think Murphy's a great manager, I think their GM is brilliant. I said, if the Brewers thought that they should look for another young superstar like him instead of him and make a swap, I would understand it if they had the same concern about not drawing walks, but being historically pathetic at drawing walks. And there's never been a great player ever in the history of baseball with where he's at in terms of drawing walks. Not a question of being so good, but you can only be so bad, and he needs to improve. So we'll see. But I'm happy that everybody's mad at me. Because they're observing it, which was what frustrated me, that nobody had noticed, you know, how horrific he had been. He got a little better than he's bad. He had, and it was a problem last year. He solved it in the last 150 at-bats, and maybe he'll figure it out. But if he doesn't, he cannot, will not be a star.
So, and if he figures it out, will you take credit the way Jesse's taking credit for the Brewers' resurgence?
No, I will not. I will take credit only for feeling like John Daly, that all the people that want me dead didn't kill me. Because of all the things I've ever said, none has created the negativity. People didn't even want me to be shot. They wanted me to be shot like three or four times so that I had to suffer before I died. Dying is not good enough. They are requiring suffering. So, and that's fine. That's Twitter. I don't care.
How do you not care? Like, I...
That's what I said. It's just words. And I understand that that's...
Words matter, man. Words matter.
Not on Twitter.
Not as much as actions, though, as we've been...
That's true.
Well, the words matter to me, but there are a certain percentage of people on Twitter that words don't matter. They're just a reflection of emotion. And, you know, it's disappointed me, the lack of percentage of people that were curious to study it a little bit. And so, but that just taught me more about Twitter.
Well, then. And Homer, that's where I wanted to take this, because we had, and I'm sure on your show, what are you doing now, 15 minutes, or are you still up to an hour?
We're still up an hour. Thanks for asking.
With commercial breaks, it's like 41 minutes.
Kind of things, these are the kind of things, Taos, you would know if you ever listened. But I know you're...
I wanted to confirm.
You got so many kids' events, sporting events, that you got to go to. So
I just wanted to confirm. But, Homer, the Orlovsky and Jordan Love, that conversation... And it's very similar in the fact that you can't really even say, well, he wasn't consistent last season.
Right.
And we asked yesterday, I don't know what our poll ended up being, but which season were you more pleased with Jordan Love? His first season as a starter or last season as a player?
I would take the final, the last half of his two seasons ago.
Yeah, but that's not the question. That's not the question.
Well, the overall season, then not last year, the year before.
Right.
Because, as Jason has talked about, when you're a young player, it's how good you look when you look good. No one expects somebody to be consistently great. It's very hard when you're young. But when you're as good as he was for, it was eight games or more than eight games, I mean, I don't know that he'll ever have a stretch that good ever again in his career. But in terms
of the season, hope. Whoa. I mean, I would hope that he does.
What? What was Jason? 18 touchdowns and one interception. Is that right?
Yeah, and then he threw another couple of touchdowns in Dallas, and was almost perfect in that game.
Yes. So for that, what was it? Nine games then?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, no. What is that? 20 touchdowns and one interception ain't happening. If it was Aaron Rodgers, I would. I mean, he may have done it more than once. If it was Aaron Rodgers, I would still bet against it, but think that he'd have a chance. No, that's... Again, this is what amazed me. People don't understand how amazing he was in that half of the season. So he could have thrown...
So then, Homer, I'm not arguing with you on that. And the stats are amazing. Why didn't we get... Did we have any of that last year?
No. But the issue with Orlovsky, I want to explain to people, is very simple. He believes in this stat, QBR, which was invented by ESPN. According to QBR, Jordan Love was the fifth best quarterback in the NFL last season. If you believe in QBR, that's the end of the discussion. For anybody to say that anybody who's top five in a stat you think is that important had a down year, it'd be almost impossible. But no one who watched him play, I would say, ever thought for the season he was the fifth best quarterback in the league. So now we're debating the stat more than they are his ability. But that explains Orlovsky, and it's that simple. As he said in a follow-up, that Jordan Love was one of their only two quarterbacks that have been top five 2 years in a row or whatever. But you have to, if you don't think that stat's worth much, and I don't, then Orlovsky's wrong.
Yeah, I would just say this. The fact that he said that you're looking at quarterbacks wrong if you think he regressed, and then uses a stat that was, look, ESPN's got a lot of really smart people in their analytics department, not slighting them at all. It's great that you've come up with what you believe to be a more accurate depiction of quarterback success, but I don't think that those numbers change the way we watched him play.
That's the hardest thing about the stat is just what Jason, everybody saw him play. There's not a person alive, not even Orlovsky, if he watched the games, it would say that was the top five quarterback in the league. So what I would ask him to do is, you know, what did Jordan Love do? And I would think part of it would be understanding that so many of the passes were dropped. And he can't be held responsible for that. So if they weren't dropped, then what would have been his percentage? But that's the discussion I would have hoped for him. Because in the regular quarterback rating, Jordan Love is 12th. And that seems about where he was. But now this is the debate over these two stats has always been huge to me, because nobody's ever really explained or, you know, like battled the two without being involved with ESPN or out. To me, it has nothing to do with ESPN. It's just explaining that stat. But I looked at the game last year, and I've used this, and I said it to Orlovsky, or then who's the other quarterback? Kurt Benkirk or whatever? The guy who
Kurt Benkirk.
Yeah, anyway, that in the game the Packers lost the end of the year to the Vikings, they had Jordan Love, who was 15 of 23 for 170 yards, with a better QBR than Sam Darnold, who was 33 of 43 for almost 400 yards and three touchdowns. I mean, explain that. However you can come up. So any stat he says in that game, Darnold was not as good as Jordan Love, I go, the stat sucks, unless you can explain somehow. And that's the problem to me. There are various games like that, and you go, you can't tell me anybody believes that Jordan Love was better than Darnold in that game. But I'm talking about it more than people want, but this is something I've been curious to have someone study for a long time.
Interesting curiosity. Homer, before you go and Jason wraps this up, how many balls are you going to recoup today? It's a pro-am, a lot of guys hitting balls. You're going to be sniffing around that marsh and sniffing around. How many balls are you going to collect today?
I think a good day to me would be 10, but I don't want to, embarrass my group or myself if they just, what's wrong with that guy? He never talks, you know, just walks around in the woods.
Well, too late for that.
No, but I think so. But I still think I can get 10. Again, I've never been on this course. There's a ton of water.
The minimum should be 20 today.
You need good to luck be at with 20. That. We have to go. We've got baseball coming up. Yeah.
Oh yeah, Brewers baseball.
We have a hard out at 11:02. So bye, Homer.
Well, let's go.
Bye.
See you, Homer.
Tausch, tell us about AmFam, because we still have another segment to go before
American.
We switch to Brewers.
Family Insurance, proud partner of Wilde and Tausch for almost 100 years. They've been committed to making life better with the right home and auto protection, all so you're free to enjoy your dreams. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly with American Family Insurance.
More Wilde and Tausch, but not very much. Next.
I am the stars glow for you. Go see the world because it's all so brand.
All right, so you got to follow us if you're listening on ESPN Madison. To ESPN Milwaukee or YouTube somewhere else, because we've got the Brewers coming up. We are the official Brewers station in Madison on 100.5 ESPN Madison. And, of course, one of their great partners is Grubel Offices. One call, that's all. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Go to the website, gruber-law.com. Brewers taking on the Cincinnati Reds after their first loss in 9 games last night. Stay tuned in Madison for Brewers-Reds. Stick around. Wilde and Tausch continues elsewhere.